There we go.
Good morning, everybody. Tanya, did you make it on?
I did.
Good, good. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro call. This is a call for, there's a lot of you on this call that are not normally on. So logistically, let me just mention that what this call normally is and what time. So normally we do this every Thursday morning at 8:30 a.m. And what we do is we just have water professionals from around the country log on. There are some regulars here. Sometimes we have some different people that come on, and we don't talk product and we don't talk company. What we do is talk about the water treatment industry. A lot of sales, we talk about issues that have arisen. Sometimes we talk about different articles we've seen in a magazine or a situation we ran into in the home. And it's a great forum to get feedback and ideas and share those ideas amongst other water professionals across the country. So please join us every Thursday morning at 8:30 Eastern. I'd love to have all of you, but occasionally we do have special guests, and we have one this morning. One of my favorite people in the entire world is Dr. Tanya Lubner, who is the Director of Education from Water Quality Association. And Tanya has been, since I've known her, very passionate about the education of the industry and the integrity of the industry. She has a PhD in chemistry, so she's also one of the smartest people I've ever known. How am I doing on giving you a huge head, Tanya?
And buttering me up, yeah, we're getting there. I may not be able to walk through the door after this.
Yeah, but I've asked Tanya, as many of you may know, Water Quality Association is changing and restructuring its certification program, and Tanya has led that up. She has been instrumental in creating that change and helping develop the new program. So I've asked her on this morning to answer some questions and to kind of describe how the certification program is changing and what the requirements will be in as of 2015, what they are now, how you can get involved, how that will affect you, all of that. So Tanya, I'm going to hand the floor over to you. I do want to say, just in case people log off early, that we have webinars, WQA certification webinars, starting next week to help you reach some of the levels that I'm sure Tanya will talk about. If you want more information on that, I'll give more information at the end of the call, or you can log on to motivitality.com and look at the seminars page, the upcoming seminars page. So Tanya, thank you so much for being here. And the floor is yours.
Well, thank you for having me. I actually want to start by explaining why we are making the change. As Kelly said, I am very passionate about education and the integrity of the industry, and I think the integrity of the industry is upheld better when the professionals within the industry are well-trained and they are comfortable with both the science of water treatment and with knowing how to provide the proper solution, how to determine what the problem is. So really my job in helping you sell more product and services is to make sure that you have the background knowledge that you need in order to feel confident in front of the customers and to avoid making mistakes. So our certification program, our professional certification program, has been around since 1977. And it started as really being a way to help the industry professionals distinguish themselves in front of customers, which, as you know, certainly helps on the marketing end and doesn't hurt on the sales end either, in order to have something that shows that you have taken and made the extra effort to get the education and that you've been able to achieve that level of certification. And in order to help people prepare for the exam, we, of course, had created educational materials. And these educational materials, as most of you probably know, because I imagine a number of you are already certified, take the form of textbooks, and this was done as correspondence courses. So somebody orders textbooks, sits and studies for 3 months, and then that goes and takes the exam. So this worked well in the 1970s. Unfortunately, in 2010, when we got this going, we were still teaching people through correspondence courses and through textbooks. Really, based on the research that's been done in adult education and vocational education, that's really not a particularly, it's neither all that efficient, nor is it all that effective. So based on that and based on a lot of input from people who had gone through the certification program and those who kind of thought about going through the certification program and didn't, I want to say with the consultation from really a top-notch education design firm, we changed the way that we are structuring our education. We knew that we needed something that not only had the theoretical, the formal learning, if you will, which component, which is the books, or going to a lecture, but also had the hands-on practice, because I'm sure you all know that it's that hands-on practice. It's actually being out in the field and doing your job that makes you better at your job. But it helps to have the educational background as well, kind of the more formal, the why behind the what of your job. So to help accomplish this and also to work better with a professional's full-time and sometimes beyond full-time work schedule, we knew that the books just weren't going to do it. They are overwhelming. It's difficult to retain the information. And now we have this wonderful thing called cloud computing. So that could make any online education portable and available essentially on demand, and you don't have to carry the big books around. So we went to creating short courses rather than books. It's even less than a chapter in length. There's a lot of material covered, but in terms of reading, it's 2 pages at the most, sometimes a couple of short paragraphs to provide the background. And from there, we go right into the practice. So the courses, as I said, they're all online. They're short. They take about 20 minutes. And they're structured such that we start at a very basic level. Those of you who've been reading the books, you know that the basic level in the books consists of maybe the first paragraph within all of the chapters. And then it just launches right into a pretty high-level explanation of technology. And if this isn't something that you're working with on a regular basis, it's a little difficult to interpret. So we have the education structured in tiers, such that the first tier is a very basic introduction. It gives you an overview of what is water treatment all about, why should you care, what do your customers care about, what kind of problems might they be seeing from an aesthetic level, from what might they be concerned about in terms of how the water affects their health. And just a very general overview, almost a matching of which technologies are available to take care of these particular issues. And we actually recommend that level for anybody in the company who's working with customers, whether it be somebody, a salesperson out in the field, whether it be a service person answering calls, or be it the receptionist who's greeting the customers when they first call in. So we felt that everybody needed some basic level of knowledge about water treatment, and we actually, when we did the pilot testing on this program, we had a couple of receptionists participate in it, and they came back with a lot of enthusiasm, saying that they really feel like they can have a much more intelligent conversation with a customer now. So if this is what a receptionist feels like, you can imagine the boost in confidence that this would give to a salesperson. And I had been in sales myself a little bit, so in a different industry, so I have some idea of what you guys go through, PhD aside. So we have, as I was saying, we have the levels. Everything is online, and built into the fully online curriculum is also practice courses. And the practice courses, what they require is a little bit of, it's essentially doing a little bit of what you would normally do in the course of your job. So I'll give you an example. One of the online courses is learning about the different types of contaminants. One of the hands-on courses that goes along with that is taking a look at your customer area and picking just one contaminant that maybe comes up on a regular basis. But anyway, you pick your favorites, and you do a little bit of research into it. And even at the very basic level, you have to respond to questions such as a little bit of information about why this contaminant is a problem and what it means for your customers. So, for example,
Tanya.
Yeah.
Tanya, I'm getting some background noise. If I could ask everybody to mute their phones if they're not, you can usually just mute your phone. That way you don't have the background noise. That would be awesome. So I don't know if you can hear that, but it's coming through a little bit. All right. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. Much better. Okay. So right from the very beginning, at the very basic level, we get you doing what you would normally be doing in the field. And in this program, you know, somebody's got to come back and check your answers. So the program is meant to be done with someone more experienced in your office, possibly outside your office. You know, if you hire a consultant like Kelly, who does training in the field for salespeople, then that person works with you through these experiential activities. They help you figure out which contaminants you should spend some time with. And then they go back and they review your answers, and it gives you a starting point for a conversation. And we had a number of managers as well go through this program, and that particular aspect of it, they were really excited about. They liked the fact that they could see exactly what their people were learning, and if they saw that maybe they weren't quite interpreting the information correctly, this was an opportunity to steer them back on course a little bit. It's also, if you think about it from a sales perspective, one of the things that you guys have to do is properly present your company's products. And each company more than likely has a few things that they would like you to say about their product. So you are going to figure out what those things are by sitting probably through a lecture where somebody tells you what the talking points are. And then you're sent out in the field to present these talking points to a customer. Hopefully somewhere in between there you get a little bit of practice. Well, our program has that practice built in. So there is a section where you have to, there are lots of sections, but there's another one, for example, that asks you to look at what are the various options that your company sells for drinking water treatment. So not only is the program in short little bits of education, not only is it hands-on, but it's also customizable to your company and your company's products, your company's philosophy, as well as your company's customers in a particular region. Not everybody is going to have the same problems, the same water treatment problems in all over the U.S., so we wanted to make sure that there was allowance for variance region to region. In this program, there are four curricula, and these four curricula are based on, or I guess I should say four major steps, so there's more than four curricula, but the four major steps are based on this tier of technical expertise, the slowly building technical expertise. So we have the basics and the fundamentals curricula. The basics is where everybody starts when they're new to the industry, technical experience, no technical experience, that's the starting point. From there, everybody except the in-house non-technical support staff is encouraged to move up to the fundamentals. And the education in the fundamentals is that which is common to any water professional in the field, regardless of their role. So it doesn't matter whether you're a salesperson, doesn't matter whether you're a service person, or whether you're the troubleshooter who's sent in to fix everybody else's mistakes. There is a certain amount of common knowledge that's necessary for all of those, and that's covered in the fundamentals. Once you get past the fundamentals, then it makes sense to start branching out to support the specific job roles. So you're probably familiar with the fact that we have a certified sales representative certification in addition to the certified water specialist, and then there's the certified installer. So after the fundamentals, the curricula break out into courses that support each one of those job roles specifically. And this starts to get us into the changes from the current program. Because with the current program, we have those three basic certifications. CWS then, through completion of specialty exams, five specialty exams at the most, will have additional levels. So it goes from CWS 1, which is that first basic exam, all the way up through CWS 6. One of the issues that we have there is until somebody gets up to CWS 6, you don't really know where their strengths lie, because it doesn't matter which exam you take after CWS 1, whether you take the reverse osmosis exam, whether you take the filtration exam or the disinfection exam, any one of those will get you up to CWS 2. So we have lots of CWS 2s and 3s, and yet, unless you look at their records, you really don't know where their expertise is. And this, there was a very good reason for why it was done this way when the program was first being put together. We wanted to be flexible. We wanted to make sure that all our industry experts were recognized for their achievements, but we also didn't want to tie somebody whose company only sells filtration and maybe never does softening or never does RO. We didn't want them to be left out of that recognition. So, which is why we have just CWS2 as opposed to CWS-FIL filtration or CWS-RO, because you can imagine that if somebody took all five of the specialty exams, you'd have to have all of those initials after their name, and there's only so much room on the business card, and there's only so much attention the customer's willing to give you. So we went with the Roman numerals. Well, now since we're redoing this program, we have the opportunity to take a look at the logic of that particular structure and redo it a little bit. So as far as the changes to the certification, the certified sales representative is not going to change at all with the exception of their title. We decided to get away from certified sales rep and call that title Certified Water Treatment Representative. The abbreviation will be CWR. We can't call it CWT if somebody else already has that title. But we felt that by calling that particular title Certified Water Treatment Representative, that better recognizes where the expertise lies. Granted, I'm sure you guys are all wonderful salespeople, and you must be, but I think it was actually Kelly who had mentioned that there's a sufficiently bad perception among customers about salespeople in the first place, and to call them a certified salesperson, well, that just makes it all that much worse. So CSR, the certified sales reps, are going to become certified water treatment representatives. Certified installers will not be changing at all. They maintain their title. What we are changing in that particular branch is we are also adding a new title, which is Certified Service Technician, CST. And the Certified Service Technician is not only going to be able to install, but they're also going to be able to go through and then troubleshoot and fix the system. And with the Certified Water Specialist, we are leaving the CWS title, but we're leaving it, we're taking away the 2 through 6, at least we're taking away that particular structure. So the way the CWS certification will work from beginning April 2015 is anybody after April who would like to get certified needs to complete the basics curriculum, the fundamentals, and then the certified water specialist curriculum. In fact, actually, the certified water specialist curriculum, to some extent, is going to overlap with the sales curriculum because both professionals need to be able to identify the problem. They need to be able to explain the solution to the customer. Actually, they need to be able to explain the problem to the customer as well, and then specify a solution. The certified water specialist goes above that in that they have considerably stronger knowledge of the systems, of how the systems work, of what the pitfalls could be, and they also will be expected to have better knowledge of the contaminants and treatment of the contaminants. So for the salesperson, the only thing that our new program is going to require their expertise on is water hardness issues, taste and odor issues without getting into disinfection, and a little bit on iron. So those are that's what the salesperson is expected to know very well. And then they're also expected to recognize when there's a problem beyond those three. And when there is a problem beyond those three, that's when we go up to the certified water specialist. So I mentioned that water treatment problems tend to vary region by region. So we have identified 12, we might go up to more than that, 12 problems that are common but don't necessarily exist in all regions. Of those 12, the certified water specialist, in order to be eligible for the exam, has to complete education on 5. So it's still possible that not all those 5 will be active in their region, will be fully relevant for their region, but certainly a greater likelihood of 5 than 12. Plus, we'd like the certified water specialist to stretch themselves a little bit in terms of obtaining knowledge. So once somebody completes the education for those additional 5 problems, they do some practice in the field of identifying the problems, determining the solution, properly sizing the systems, figuring out what the treatment train, if there's more than one piece of equipment, what that should look like. And once they pass the CWS exam, then the next step for them is to move up to Master Water Specialist. And to get up to Master Water Specialist, the requirements are completion of an advanced education curriculum, and that's going to cover the rest of those 12 regional water problems, as well as a couple other things and some more in-depth information on the treatment technologies. So once that particular curriculum is completed, they are eligible for Master. It doesn't move them into Master immediately. There's also no exam for Master Water Specialist. What there will be is some experiential requirements. So, and we're still working out the curriculum and the requirements, so I can't tell you exactly what that would be, but we'd like the Master Water Specialist to have some time in field. And I think that really that makes sense, and it makes sense for the industry and for the level of professionalism in the industry. In addition, the master will have to have had some time training somebody else. And that could be simply that they were asked to do some ride-alongs or bring along a new hire in their company. And again, we haven't quite settled on those all of those requirements yet. But we think from the perspective of the industry, from the perspective of the strong professionals that we're trying to have out there, this new pathway makes a lot more sense than the current one, especially since the current one really doesn't ask you to prove that you know how to do anything besides memorizing what's in the book and taking the test. And I hate to be negative about that. I don't mean to belittle anybody's achievement, but that's kind of what I've seen happen in certain cases. I mean, my favorite examinee is the one who tells me that he or she has been in the field for 5 years, and I can safely tell them that they don't even need to read the book. And that's what the test is really meant to show, is that they have gained that expertise. Whereas with the new program, we've built in proof that they have that expertise. And what we're hoping to do with that proof is to go and to the regulators, to go to the plumbing boards and such, who are trying to make sure that nobody's allowed to put in a water system except the plumber we would like to be able to go to them with that proof and show them that our industry does have a very good idea of what we're doing. We are the ones that can make sure that we can protect customer safety and health much more so than the plumber that puts on a piece of equipment and never comes back to check on it. And we'd like to, I'm sure you've heard about this final barrier concept that WQA has been promoting, and this is this has to do with treating drinking water for regulatory compliance. So all public water systems have to have their drinking water quality to a certain regulated standard. Unfortunately, because of the difference in size in the public water systems, the larger ones have a much easier time keeping up with all of those standards than the smaller ones. So the option for the smaller ones is to put a point of entry or point of use unit in the home. The problem is with the regulators is they're very worried about how exactly they're supposed to be responsible for the water quality that comes out of that particular unit. And in the discussions that we've had for them, we're trying to get them to see that we have a whole industry of personnel who are more than capable of being able to monitor those units and make sure that those units are working properly. But we need to provide them some proof. And we're hoping that this particular restructured program and these experiential activities and the fact that we will have all of the results of these activities on file, we're hoping that that will provide the proof. Before I go on to tell you about the changes to those of you who are already certified, do you have any questions for me on the program?
Tanya, so they will still, on the CWS and what is currently the CSR and the CI, there is still an exam required.
Yes.
So is it the same exam, or will the questions
for
be
now.
Different? Will they? Okay, so
for now,
so they can,
yeah, for now we're not making any changes to the exam, but probably in about a year or so it will be modified a little.
All right, so they're going,
easy, huh?
The biggest difference here is now they've got to complete this modular program instead
yes.
of reading the books, but the
yes.
the end result is that they still have to take and pass the exam in order
right.
to receive that certification.
Yes, and we expect that the new structure of the education program will make getting ready for that exam much easier.
Right.
Well, okay, if not easier, at least it'll, from the perspective of understanding the material.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so as I mentioned, we're doing away with CWS 2 through 6 as of next April. What that means is that anybody who's a CWS 5 or CWS 6 by April of 2015, they will be grandfathered in as master water specialist. We're not going to look at time and field, nothing like that. If you've got the CWS 5 or 6, you will become a master water specialist. So if you are currently a 2, that gives you a little bit of time to take a couple extra exams. If you do not make it in under that April 15th deadline, after April 2015, you will simply retain the certified water specialist title, and you will need to work through the advanced curriculum in order to get up to master, and then the amount of time in field and whether or not you have sufficient time training people, that will start to come into play. Any questions
so,
on that? Mm-hmm.
So basically, I've got two of them, just to clarify.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are currently a 1, 2, 3, or 4,
mm-hmm.
in order to be grandfathered in by that as a master water specialist, you have to complete CWS 5 by April 2015. Now, the question that I would mm-hmm. Is inevitable that I'm
mm-hmm.
going to get, and I don't know if you know the answer to this yet, but what if somebody takes – you know, they're CWS 4 right now, and they take their CWS 5 at Aquatech and
mm-hmm.
in Vegas and pass it. Does that count? Does that
grandfather them? Yes, that is still April of 2015. I was trying
so
to make
even
it
if the
March,
test results
yeah.
aren't, if they haven't received the results of the test
no.
by the end. So, okay.
Yeah, yeah. As long as the test is done, is in by then, and they passed, So that's something else we'll have to think about a little bit. We might give them, the ones that don't pass, a little bit of a grace period if they're at least a four.
Okay.
So it, at the end of next April, we're going to do the rollovers.
Okay. What other, now explain, can you explain briefly the mentor, how the mentor will work and what the, I know you mentioned that there will be a mentor, but what will be the mentor's role for people going through the modular program?
Sure. So the role of the mentor is essentially it's to act as a coach. It's the mentor's responsibility is to help bring up this brand new person, or if not so brand new, to help bring up the level of education and understanding. And what the mentor is often asked to do is to guide the choice of the hands-on problem. So, for example, I mentioned that one of these was pick your favorite contaminant in the area and try to answer some of the questions about it, do a little bit of research about it. Well, the mentor can help guide that choice of a contaminant. When you bring in somebody brand new who's not really familiar with what the water is like in their particular region, they might go off on some esoteric contaminant, which really doesn't do much in getting them ready to go out into the field. So the mentor can guide that particular choice. But really the mentor's role is also to review the hands-on activities. It's to review the learner's answers and answer any questions for the learner that they might have, help them figure out how to get the right answer. Not necessarily give them the right answer, but just coach them along a little bit so that when they're out in the field, they know maybe where they need to look that answer up. And, of course, we want to get the mentor's job is to help the new person get ready to go out into the field. So, Kelly, it's really not all that different from what you do when you are on the job, when you are training somebody new. We've just formalized it a little bit more.
Continued education credits will be the same. You'll get those at the WQA conventions and through the questions and Water Technology Magazine and all the other multitude of ways that to get the points. Will that requirement remain the same?
Yes, so there's no change to the continuing education requirement, how you get continuing education. Obviously, anybody who works through the advanced curriculum in the new modular education program is going to get continuing education, continuing education credit from that toward their existing certification.
Okay. What are the questions? I know we have a lot of people on the call, and I appreciate everybody being here. I know I thanked you, Tanya, but I think I may have neglected to thank everybody else, which is the way I usually start my any presentation I give. So, but what other questions does anybody else have? Tanya, do you want to, where would they go if they want further information? Where would they be able to go to research it further or look into it further or get clarification?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's a lot of information on the WQA website, specifically on the education page. So it's wqa.org/education. And from there, you will see a link to professional certification. You can the information on the professional certification still right now is with the current program. I'm having a little bit of a communication crisis. How do I keep the current program going and slowly bring in the new one with all the changes? But there is also information about the modular education program on that page as well. So wqa.org/education will give you a place to look. And then if you have any other questions, you can email us at education@wqa.org.
And I will put a link to that on the upcoming seminars page on my website. And I do want to mention, for those of you looking to get grandfathered in or get that certification before 2015, we are doing a whole slew of webinar courses, which have given us a 98-99% pass rate for people that have taken our webinar courses and then taken the exams. So we've got tons of sample quizzes up on that, and those are starting next week. So take a look at motivitality.com, and we still have space available in most of them, in a couple of the advanced courses and the CWS 1 course. And then one last note, next week, I've yet to confirm exactly who, but next week at 8:30 we'll resume the normal time, I believe, 8:30 a.m. Eastern, and we are expecting to have a resin expert come on and talk to us about how resin is designed and made, so please join us for that. And then if you want to review this call, we will download this call, or upload this call, rather, to the MVPro page on motivitality.com, so that'll be there and for you to review as well. Tanya, any final comments or questions?
Yeah, one final comment. When you have the Resin Guy talk, make sure you send me a note and a list of. I'll send you a roster for the list of people who attended, and we'll give them continuing education credit.
Oh, good. Okay. Thank you. I will. I'll do that for sure. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you all very much. And everybody, if you have any other questions, please let me know or shoot WQA an email or take a look at it, and we will talk to everybody next week, if not sooner. Thanks, everybody.
All right. Thanks, Kelly.
Tony. Hello. Hello.